I'm Bert Green and this is the Bert Locker. This week on my MMA-themed kind of talking nonsense show, I'll be recapping UFC Vegas 78, going through what I think should be next for the winners, losers, all that good stuff. Also, why the BMF title should be defended 24 hours a day. If you want to hear more on that, then stick with me. I'm going to get through to the recap first. So UFC Vegas 78, the real standouts for me, Jacqueline Amorim, she really did fantastically well. Obviously in her debut, she seemed to gas out a little bit and didn't do brilliantly, but she was so dominant in that fight. She didn't get the submission that I was looking for, but she did just dominate. I mean, the first two rounds were arguably a 10-8 each, and then she got the TKO in the third, so you can't really you can't be much more dominant than that, can you? Who's next? I mean, is she ready for a ranked opponent next? That was a hell of a dominant performance. Very dominant. I wouldn't mind seeing her matched up with Amanda Ribas sometime in the future. I don't know if she's ready for a ranked yet. Probably another unranked fight next, and then maybe start looking at a showdown between her and Amanda Ribas. Both very good grapplers, both, you know, similar skill sets, and it'd be interesting to see. So Yasmin Lucindo looked absolutely fantastic against Poliana Viana. Sorry. There was such a strength disparity there. I didn't realise how much stronger Lucindo was going to be, honestly, even on the ground. Because I thought that Viana she would have an advantage on the ground. And you know, that sounded very Trump-esque, didn't it? I thought she'd have an advantage on the ground. And she got to the ground, there was no advantage. What's going on? Sorry. Yeah, she just seemed out-strength in every facet of the game. And yeah, Lucindo looked fantastic, so looking forward to seeing some more of her, honestly. Marcus Muggy was great. The referee should have separated them better, though, honestly, because he knocked out JP Byers. And then, like, the referee kind of called it, but then JP Byers got up and kind of carried on trying to fight, but the referee didn't step in. You need to have a real clear-cut separation, is what I'd say. But hard, very hard job is refereeing. So I'm not, you know, talking trash on the referee. It was just something I noticed. Probably should have got in the middle. That could have gotten ugly. Anyway, Khalil Roundtree. Speaking of getting ugly, Khalil Roundtree, those last couple of shots were unnecessary. The wind-up. Basically, he knocked out Chris Dawkins with a beautiful straight and then followed it up on the ground. And the wind-up of the shot on the ground was just nasty. Go back and watch that one if you didn't watch it. It's horrific. I like watching Khalil Roundtree. When Khalil Roundtree is on, he is very difficult to beat. He has since said that he wants to kind of get a five-rounder next. I don't know who you put him up against. One thing I did notice is that is Dominic Reyes still fighting? Let me know in the comments. I haven't seen hide nor hair of Dominic Reyes in a bloody long time. But he's still in the rankings. Is he still fighting or nah? Just, yeah. But if he is still fighting, Khalil Roundtree, Dominic Reyes. Come on, man. That's a good matchup. Tell me that's not a good matchup. You're welcome. Silver, Shelby. Is it Shelby and Silver? I don't know. Whoever the matchmakers are these days, put together that one. Roundtree against Silver. Five-round main eventer for a fight night. I would watch the hell out of that. So would everybody else. Make it happen. And I thought, honestly, the Dawodu versus Cub Swanson, I thought that was a clear win for Dawodu. Honestly, I got up and went for a piss. And I came back and I was just like, huh? Why are they interviewing Cub Swanson? He's retired. Oh, he won. Oh, okay. Wow. Don't know about that. Because to be honest, it's like, I thought that Dawodu landed more. I thought he landed more significant. He did more damage. The only times, there was a couple of exchanges in each round where it wasn't like a knockdown, but like both of them kind of, you know, exchanged heavy shots. And yeah, okay, Dawodu was probably rocked, but so was Swanson there, and Swanson definitely took more damage. I would have to rewatch that again. But even Swanson Swanson was already applauding Dawodu. When they called it 29-28, he was already applauding him because he thought he'd lost. And fair play to Swanson, he answered very honestly. When DC said to him, do you think you did enough to win that fight? He said, no, but I'll have to watch the fight back. I didn't feel like I got enough. But yeah, it is what it is, you know. It went to a decision. Clearly, the judges thought it was close enough. I didn't think it was that close. But we move on, because the record books are just going to show a win for Swanson, and I don't begrudge that, honestly. So I like Swanson. I want to see him continue. I don't think he did enough there, and he didn't think that he did enough there. So I think that's... I don't like to throw... It's not a robbery. No fights that go to a decision are really a robbery. It's like, you know, you're leaving the fate in the hands of the judges, but... I would say that I felt that that was an odd decision at the very least. Vicente Luque versus Dos Anjos wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire, but it was an interesting fight for the division, and it was interesting to see how Luque was going to bounce back. He had a bad knockout last time, and you know what? He did brilliantly well, because Rafael Dos Anjos looked outstanding for a lot of that, honestly. Luque was just too big, too physical. Dos Anjos struggled with the physicality of Vicente Luque there. It was really a lot of fun. And looking at next matchups, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson needs a fight. Vicente Luque, Wonderboy Thompson, boom, make that one happen. It might have happened already. In my head, I haven't checked, but let me know in the comments. I can't be bothered to check. But have Luque and Wonderboy fought already? If they haven't, put that one together. Overall on my bets, I was 9 out of 12 on my ACCA and my predictions. So that's not terrible. 9 out of 12 ain't bad, is it? And none of my other trash bets came off. All the other bets were absolute trash. And now that's the basic. That's UFC Vegas 78 in a nutshell. Do me a favour, just hit subscribe. If you're enjoying this content, just hit the bell notification, because I do fight previews every week. I do a lot of fun content. There's terrible bets that you can have a really good laugh at, because they really are god-awful. And I do my MMA scratch cards, and you can post to me what you've been betting on as well. And obviously we have a recap every week, laugh at funny memes. It's all a good time. It's fun. And the fight previews especially, because I do have information on every single fighter, every single fight down the card. I call them the casuals guide, because casuals built the sport and they have lives. And that's why I try and keep it down to about 20 minutes or less. Whole fight cards, all previewed for you. And that is every week. So hit the bell notification and hit subscribe if you want to see more of that. So my thoughts on the BMF title. I think the BMF title needs to be treated like the old WWF hardcore title. Do you remember? Right? Falls count anywhere. It needs to be falls count anywhere. Sorry, there aren't any falls in the UFC. Should be knockout submissions count anywhere. Right? 24 hours a day. Weapons should be allowed. Right? It's the hardcore title. Like, the challengers just need to procure themselves a qualified referee, and then, you know, then just let the carnage ensue. Mark, you know, that Marcus McGee from the last fight card, he looked like a BMF guy. He looked like the kind of guy who would smash a bottle and shove it into your neck. You know, I'd like to see him going after Gaethje with Mark Goddard in tow. He goes in there with a switchblade, stabs Gaethje up real nice, and then the referee calls it a TKO because Gaethje's just like non-responsive. But then as soon as he calls it, you know, because obviously Gaethje's going to have gotten a few punches in, then Mark Goddard just grabs hold of McGee's neck and just chokes him out and calls himself the winner and grabs the belt and runs off. And then he gets smashed in the head with a chair by Keith Peterson. Keith Peterson, there's a BMF for you. You've seen the state of the tattoos on that guy. He has to cover a lot of those tattoos up. I don't know. That leads to speculation. What are they tattoos of? It's like, what kind of Aryan gang was he in before he was an MMA referee? But yeah, no. Then Keith Peterson comes in with the steel chair, smashes Goddard over the head, and then, you know, just choke Goddard with the chair, like, you know, just choke, pinning him down to the ground until he passes out and takes the belt. And then your new BMF, 24-hour-a-day hardcore champion, Mr. No-Nonsense Keith Peterson. There will be no nonsense when that guy is around. BMF title, bad motherfucker in the UFC, Mr. Keith Peterson. I would watch the hell out of that. I really would. It would be very entertaining. And I think it's better than just wheeling it out for whoever you feel like should win it at the time. It needs to, if you're gonna bring it out more than once, then it needs to be defended and sorted out. That is my legitimate, like, obviously I was having a bit of fun there with the hardcore championship bit, but I do believe that if you're gonna wheel out the BMF belt, it was supposed to be a one-time thing for Diaz and Masvidal. If it's gonna be more than that, it needs to be defended What do you think about that? Do you think the BMF title should be defended? Obviously, you know, it means that, you know, technically, I don't think it should be like restricted to a weight class. It's like if Dustin Poirier wanted to go up to welterweight and fight a welterweight, he can do, but he has to put his BMF belt on the line. And then it moves up into the welterweight division. And then whoever wins it, say it's Khamzat Chimaev, for instance, he wins it, and then he goes up to middleweight and defends it in there. And then someone takes it off him at middleweight, goes up to, and then it, and the belt just has to be linear for me. And if it retires, it vacates, and you have two people fight for it again. But I think if you bring it out more than once, it should be defended. And then my troll of the week this week was just, it's not even an MMA one. It's kind of a boxing one, but it really did make me laugh when I saw it, just because it's just, yeah, it's kind of so true. You've got Mike Tyson, like in his heyday, it's just single versus being married, right? You've got Mike Tyson in his heyday representing the single man. He's there, you know, in all his glory, in his wife rents, by his like rockside pool with a tiger on a chain, and then you've got married on the other side, and you've got Mike Tyson holding his poop bag, not his own poop bag, his dog's poop bag. I'm like, just to clarify, I'm not saying that Mike Tyson is pooping in bags and carrying it around with him. That would be very weird. Just to specify that it looks like he is holding a bag of the dog's feces. Although I wasn't there. I don't know for sure. Do you know what I mean? We're assuming the dog is pooping in the bag, but who knows? Who knows? Who knows whose poop that is? Let me know in the comments. Whose poop do you think that is in the bag that Mike Tyson is holding? And on that terrible note, that's it from me. And this week, obviously, you've got, let's just double check this before I completely mess it up. But I believe this week it is Sean O'Malley versus Sterling at UFC. Yeah, August 20th. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, August 20th. It's going to be Sean O'Malley against Aljamain Sterling. That's a really fun fight card. Let's have a look at what other fights are actually on this card. Just real quick. So Sterling O'Malley in the main event. Zhang Wei Li against Amanda Lemos. That's a big fight. I didn't realise that was on this card. I'm colour me excited for that. I'm a huge fan of Amanda Lemos and Zhang Wei Li. That's massive. That's a big fight. Ian Machado, Gary's taking on Neil Magny. Oh yeah, because Jeff Neal dropped out, didn't he? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's another bit of news for you. Jeff Neal is out of his fight with Ian Machado, Gary, and Neil Magny is stepping in. There you go. A little bit of news there for you. Cody Garbrandt now taking. No, Cody Garbrandt's out as well. I'm sure he's out. Oh. Pedro Munhoz against Marlon Vera. And Chris Weidman's back against Tavares. Let's see if he does keep up with it. Because he said, like, Weidman, he's been quite candid on his podcast and that about how he feels about his leg. He said, what I'm going to do is go in there. I'm going to just throw the hardest leg kick I can. That's the first thing that I'm going to do. And let's see if he sticks to that. I hope he does. Because he just wants to get rid of the fear, I think. Fair play to him. Oh, Gregory Rodriguez, Robocop's on the card. And Gerald Meerschaert. Oh, Natalie Silva. Karini Silva is on the card. Karini Silva. She's the opening fight. Karini Silva is an absolute devastating destroyer from Brazil. She is fantastic. I believe she's like 16-4, but I mean, I might be wrong. I'll need to go back and like look at it. But I think all of her 16 wins are finishes. She's an absolute savage, Karini Silva. Very much looking forward to it. Hell, that's a good card. That is a hell of a fight card. I'm going to have a lot of fun breaking that down. I'm going to be getting a casuals guide out later on this week that's going to be going through the whole card in just a little bit of detail, a little bit of information on every single fighter, every single fight. I'm going to be putting some terrible bets down. I'm going to try and find time this week to do some deep dives into a couple of those matchups, because a few of them are very, very interesting. Those ones will go over onto my Patreon. Go and check out the Bert Locker on Patreon as well. If you want to support the show, the best way to do it is just that it's £1 a month, and you do get some exclusive content that doesn't go onto the YouTube channel. At least sometimes I time it so that it comes. If you want to get all the deep dives before the fights, then head over to the Patreon. But I think I just set them to kind of release after a few weeks when they're no longer relevant on the YouTube channel. Either way, until next time, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.